thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak here today. It's not that often I can just sort of stroll out of Windy Hill on a lazy Tuesday when the players have just gone for their mid-year break. And I walk down and there's 1,000 women. 300 buffheads. They're the Collingwood fans. No, I'm only joking. Now, look, I would like this session to just perhaps or just, you know, probably touch base with, and I'll have a few questions at the end of it because I like to sort of have a two-way communication there. To me, it's an opportunity to express some of the things that we've been able to do in my time in and around our game of footy. And I say our game of footy because I know that there are 6 football codes in the world that I know of. And, of course, at the moment, coaching Australia against Ireland later on this year is going to be a huge task because we actually play this game where there's going to be 35,000 people down in Galway and another 85,000 in Dublin. And I only got to know the rules last year because that's the only time I coached them. But isn't that so Irish? Isn't it beautiful? And then, of course, the great game of soccer, which the world most plays. But then in the end, you know, I always say, gee, they get those goals late. They really make you sit up. They really make you wait. And then all of a sudden, the goals come in the last 10 minutes. Jeez, whew, that's a long, patient, tolerant game, that game. Then you got rugby. And, of course, rugby is all about physicality. And physicality is something men love, but women just, you're not sure about that. But it's men body on body, confrontational. Rugby league the same. And of course AFL, where we're going that fast, we're doing our hamstrings at the moment. So it's quite amazing, you know, we're moving that fast. But look, all of the codes are sensational. And they're sensational for lots of different reasons. And of course most sports are. One of the greatest peacekeepers in the world in community leadership are the Olympic Games. Anybody ever remember the Olympic Games 2000, 6 years ago? Got off the plane, walked down, got on a train, got to Sydney and met happy people everywhere, didn't we? They were all volunteers. All people that showed leadership to other countries. So that's the power of sport and how sport can be a benefit for us all. Doesn't matter whether you play it or not. I was only speaking to a group yesterday. We had down here 15-year-old boys come down from basically the Wimmera. And I explained to them that it's not always about playing the sport. It's about the involvement. And I try to lighten that off a bit about being having a great involvement in your own area, the Wimmera. What it means to be able to travel around your own country when you get involved in sports or organisations, because it takes a lot of leadership just even when you're travelling. So some of the areas I'm going to discuss today, basically in the end, are areas that you work in. The best area that I first come across in my life, I was at a youth club. Something that we don't have much of anymore, do we? I cannot see a youth club within my vicinity other than that it's a sports club. And that is a huge change in my lifetime. And I've spoken to the AFL about eventually having our own AFL youth club and leadership organisation, something that it was discussed in the last 3 months. Kevin Bartlett and I went to a youth club, him being a very famous footballer in his playing days, and we were not a terrific little footy team, but we did judo, we did boxing, we learned to swim in this youth club, we learned woodwork, and we actually looked at the role models in front of us, the people that were organising the youth club, and every person was a fantastic role model. So I felt, when I look back in my own life, that was the first step at 9 years of age. When your mother said to you, get home early, your tea will be on the table, and you have youth club on Mondays and Wednesdays, but you must be home at 9 o'clock after that. So we always wanted to get home and be allowed to go to youth club. Because that's where you got to meet kids from other schools, other organisations. So it was really pleasing to have that as a 10-year-old, as a 10-year-old kid, to have the opportunity to go and meet people from the other side of the suburb. Where I lived was a suburb called Parand, Toorak, South Yarra, and Hawkesburn, just a little inner suburban area in the 1950s. And you got to meet kids from all over that area, not just the ones that you went to school with. And obviously, if you talk about some of the discussions that we've gone through today, there's always that headache of Catholics and Protestants in those days and discrimination. Well, haven't we learnt that we better have cleaned that up over the last sort of 50 years, thank God. But it's taken a long time, hasn't it? So I've always thought that I look at people as we're all the same. I enjoy my life because of that attitude. Every time I meet, and I'll just discuss what I read out when I was going to talk to you about one little item about the Essendon Footy Club. What is a football club contain in its people? And I looked at the Australian squad in soccer right over there in the middle of Germany representing our nation in soccer. And here are the names of the Essendon Footy Club, right here in the Essendon manual. Bang. Locals, area. Neil McKissick, obviously not Italian, it's Scottish, I'd say, with a Mac. Ray Horsburgh. Alec Epus, an Italian. McCaskey. McCaskey, another Scottish bloke. Persano, Mr. Tano, Kato, Lorna Burney from Ireland. Gee whiz. My recruiting officer, Adrian Dodoro. My weights power coach, Valeri. I call him Valerie. Strominov. What about that one, eh? And A.D. Schwegler. A real Smith, Harrison, Brown, this footy club, isn't it? Michelle Ferrari is our sponsorship coordinator. Pelchin, McKelvey, Christina Vouros, obviously from Greece. Marika Pizzi, and Romani Kupers. See, I'll tell you what, I'm feeling pretty uncomfortable at Essendon at the moment with a name called Sheedy. And then we got over to Eugene Horisko, one of the Ukrainians that found his way to Australia. And these are our trainers, the guys that really spent a lot of time with these little joeys called Matthew Lloyd, James Hearn, Dustin Fletcher, all these little, you know. And I think to myself, if you took a little microcosm of a football unit or a soccer unit or a nursing unit or a teacher's unit, anywhere you'll find it in a football club. Because our trainers are Rob Desrati, Charlie Italia, he'd be rubbing down James, Lenny Misbud, and Rob Di Carezza, and Mr. Spargo himself. Anna Dromedge is a masseur. Jim Stravinowski is another masseur. And Jesse Danzer. See, whiz, I tell you what, I don't know what I got to listen to. But gee, I tell you what I think I do know, and that is that we have a great club. People from all walks of life, all nations. And so I love that part of our club because in the end I've always encouraged it. So my number one recruiting officer, Adrian Dodoro, is a passionate Italian that loves, he walks around with his Italian soccer scarf on today, you know. And I'm saying, mate, give us a break. We're trying to win a game. So you build this sort of camaraderie that you actually can have in society. And I always look at areas, and I know at the moment the Bombers are sort of where we haven't been for a long time, particularly in my lifetime. I've never been last, to be quite honest. Ever since that little youth club, Kevin Bartlett and I, you know, we read out there every week and we dreamt that we were going to win, but we never won. You know, Kevin Bartlett, he won 5 best and fairest, Kevin Bartlett, for the Mighty Tigers. And he played in 5 premiership sides and he had 5 hand passes. 3 of them were up against a brick wall one night, so they bounced back in his arms. But the one thing that little youth club give us was an opportunity and a chance. And never lose sight of the fact that you people here in leadership can give other people just a little opening, a chance. And of course, the last 2 years in our recruiting programs, the AFL has allowed us now to sign up international recruits. So we can now go and sign up a young player who might have landed on the shores of Australia from Sudan 2 years ago. And we can actually sign a kid up at 15 or 16 years of age, maybe in New South Wales and around that Sydney, 6 million people, and we can sign him up if we think he's got the talent. So there's a little keyhole opened up there for people who have just come into this nation. Never been done before. This is the power of sport, an opportunity. We never saw an Olympic blonde-headed woman, an Olympic Games, blonde head, over the pole vault. I know. Just look, I'm just trying to get their thinking here. I'm pretty sure she had long legs. And I even know that she hadn't lived in Australia that long. Is that correct? Exactly. That's the opportunity I'm talking about. I think that young lady actually came out because her husband was a top athlete. Is that correct? Exactly. So after his opportunity, she got an opportunity too. Marvellous. And you look at the Australian soccer team right now. It's not exactly Gus Sheedy, is it? It's Gus Sheedy. But in that side, you've got Mark Schwarzer, you've got Kalak, you've got Antikovic, you've got down... You've got Bresciano, you've got Popovic, you've got Kalina, Skoko, or you've got Aloisi and Strugovsky. And next to them, you've got Kale, you've got Kennedy, Archie Thompson, Scott Chipperfield. So here's a classic case of what is representing our nation. Because you people here today present the programs for what our nation's going to be in the next 30 years. The thinking of our nation, because you are the people that spend the time with the youth of the day and the people in the workforce. And so when I get an opportunity to develop ideas, which is very unusual for an AFL coach, because all they want to do is win games and then get sacked. At the moment, I'm not winning games and I've still got my job, so it's working all right, okay? Don't tell anybody. But I try to give a little bit of value as a coach other than being a footy coach. Okay? Try to give a little bit of value in the position called, there's leadership as a football coach, but can we do a couple of other zones that we need to work into to get our sport or your life or your area better? And I spoke recently and I said to a group of people about missing opportunities. Missing opportunities generally happen when people cannot see or struggle to see or just at times under pressure lack the vision of opportunities. So I said, look, put a little suitcase on wheels as your motto in your computer. And when you go home, all you wonderful little computer literates, put a little computer there as a key, because it took 2,000 years to get wheels on suitcases. That's a hell of a long time to think of that idea. Is that fair enough? Who agrees with that? 2,000 years it took to put wheels on suitcases. So obviously, sometimes we miss. And I think personally, I try not to miss talent. Try not to miss a person when they need help. Okay, and we've had a lot of them in footy. Because I believe what's happened, as I mentioned earlier, that football clubs are now youth clubs, okay? And netball clubs are youth clubs. And hockey clubs and athletic clubs. We've actually taken over mainstream developing youth processes into trying to get the best out of their talent and their energies. Even in the workforce, when you're working with somebody, offer them an idea on a way through their life, and it might be the best idea that's ever presented to them. A genuine idea, one that you care and feel about. because that's the name of what's happened in our game. Because when I started coaching in this position 26 years ago, we were a little footy club up the road in a different competition called the VFL. Prior to that, I worked in a competition and played footy in it called the VFA. So it was the VFA, VFL and AFL. And all they do in my life are moving the V's and the A's and the L's around on me. That's all they're doing. They're playing tricks with my brain. And I won't let it happen that often. So to me, it's only footy. But in really, honestly, it's life, isn't it? It is just life. My job is actually to try and keep footy and sport and young people and our fans really motivated towards enjoying their life. I often write in an autograph. We only have, enjoy your life, we only have one. Bang. Just leave the thought there. Or keep smiling. Always sign an autograph with a smile. Why? Because I can give a smile for nothing. And every time, it's amazing, I sign an autograph with a smile, a little kid looks up to you, and what do you reckon he does? He smiles. He just smiles, or she just smiles. It is amazing. What do you think of that? That's all you get. Just a little Bert Newton. You know, so all those thoughts of things happen because they're subliminal. And I've got no doubt here we'll go home to Mum and Dad and say, gee, I only see Mr. Sheedy when he's angry. At quarter time and three-quarter time on the television. When he's stupidly waving his jackets and scratching his throat. I never thought I'd get into trouble because the first time I got into trouble, I thought my mum was, we won that match. I was 47 years of age. And I got home and my mother rang up. It was 77 years of age. I said, well, Mum, what do you think? She said, you're an embarrassment. How was that for leadership from 77 to 47? Straight down the barrel, right down the phone. Just knock it off and behave yourself. One of two premierships a couple of years earlier. See, your women don't miss us, do you, when you have to. You put the little bow and arrow, just put it in there, and just bang, pop that. But leadership comes in lots of ways, even from a person like myself, racing to midlife, and your mother picks the phone up and says, stop it. It's not the right thing to do. And you know that. Okay. So all of these things happen in our wonderful world of sport. Let's have a look at some of the things that happen across the board because, gee, when I grew up, we never had a footy. Kids have got a basketball, a football, a baseball bat, a cricket bat. They've got everything. But does anybody give them the time to actually execute the skill of life and the skill of sport? And I always tried to relate our sports to our players, personnel, staff, the whole lot, in what and who you can be. I always say to my teams that I've had over the years, what do you want to do after you leave? Because we've only got you for about 10 years. And I don't want it to make as if it's jail for them. I want them to come into Western and say, at 35, after they left 5 years, they've gone, gee, I tell you what a great institution that place was, Essendon. Because it's not just a footy club. And it's only not a footy team. It's an organisation that has an aura. No matter where it is on the ladder, it has an aura of development. You can approach and you can learn. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? The day you stop learning at 58 years of age, I might as well leave coaching, I might as well leave sport. Because I want to keep developing. So leadership is about developing no matter what your birth date was. Everybody clear on that? And that will really get you excited. My wife's 51. Don't tell her I said that. And I said, well, what are we going to learn now? Where are we going? What are we going to do this year? Because we only get about 3 weeks off. And I'm going to take all the kids to Ireland. I'm going to say, now go and find out where Grandpa and Grandma come from. That's your essay. That's your assignment. And there's a lot of them there, down in Cork and Kerry somewhere down the south of Ireland. But my kids will have a little assignment and still go and find the happiness and the history of where their grandparents came from. And that's leadership. Because I'm not, I know where they come from. I'm not going to tell them. You go and earn the rights to find out. I say that to my players. And find out what you can do with a ball. Yeah, there's a footy. And because you didn't kick it as much as you could have when you were 12, then go and kick it a bit more now. We're missing goals, and I'm not happy. Football's an industry where we have many, many thousands of people. Just recently, you know, we've done a survey. We've got Auskick up there and running. We've got in a community. It's about, I went up to Townsville 2 years ago. I've been up to Darwin, went to Broome. So I've been moving right around the big island. And of course, the many thousands of people that help out, encourage. And my wife sometimes says to me, Kevin, why are you going to Tasmania? I went last week. I said, because I want to thank the people. Somebody's got to thank them. And if you say no, no can be hurtful. If I go down and fly back in a day, and she said, you're getting on the 5 o'clock flight? I said, no, I'm going to talk to another 20 people at 5 o'clock, and I'm coming back on the 7 o'clock flight. So my wife is a very, very, very good wife. She's a pretty inspirational person because she says, do you have to? I said, oh, of course I don't have to, but whilst I'm there, I just might see 20 more people that need that message. Okay, that's all. Just need a little message. I'll never most likely ever see them again in my life. But that's not the point. The point in the end is, if you give them three good messages, that's enough. That's enough. You know, a person said to me when I was 16 years of age, they said, you're too short. And they gave me a message. They never measured my brain. That's the message they gave me. They didn't measure my thinking capacity, my development of my thinking, what I could be. They just looked at me and said, you are 5'10½ and we've got too many of you. I said, well, right. Okay. I better grow up for a start. I'm going to have to get smarter. Because I went home and then I studied how many there was in a team. And there was 20 in a team in those days. We've changed that since. I heard you've done a session on change. Is that correct? Oh, beauty. We'll talk about change later. And, of course, in that team, there was 20 players. And down the middle of the team, there's a tall bloke, a full back, and a tall one at centre back, and another tall one at centre forward, a tall one in the goal square, like, you know, Lockett. Another tall 6'5" bloke in the ruck. And they always have one on the bench in case one of those five got injured. So that's six tall people out of 20 left. 14 my size. Multiply that by 12. That's 168. So I thought, I knew maths would come in handy. I had 168 opportunities to make it. That's what leadership is. Giving a person a way. Just because you're 5'10½ means you can make it. Because you have more opportunities. If you're tall, you have less. Everybody clear enough? Okay. Of course, getting back to the old AFL days when we said, what is the problem with more on the bench? We're hurting our players, which are injuries, which are sports medicine, which are players out for 12 months. Less opportunities. So we actually found out that the biggest problem in AFL at that stage was the number 20. You can't change the amount of players in the team. It's always been 20. This is a guy that was 35 years of age. He didn't realise that before he was born, it used to be 19. They just make statements like that. So I love going back in the history books. And we got it to 22. Now, my recollection is, if you have 16 teams with an extra two, multiplied by 22 matches a year. That is 704 more selections for kids. Are you with me? Plus the finals, which is big stuff, you know, the big finals where you go out and you be a star. 704 more opportunities of selection we got just by changing the figure from 20 to 22. plus the finals, okay, which is about 30 games or 30 more positions available. So that's fantastic. Because, you know, if we had 4,000 people represent Australia at the Olympics, say, or 1,000, for every 1,000 we had selected at the 2000 Olympics, we had three times miss out. You with me? And after the Olympic selections were over, I was asked to come and talk to the people that missed out. Everybody clear? Now, you know when you've got to go and talk to a young rower and he's missed out on just one position. They've just missed. Or a young woman yachtsman after 96. And she got up and won a medal the next Olympics. I feel pretty good about that, you know? Don't worry about missing out this year, this Olympics. Get ready for the next one. Always leave a positive if you're going to be a leader. Always leave a positive. It's the best present you can ever give anybody, is a positive. We lost last week by 6 goals. See, it could have been 10. Should have been 3, but anyway. I said, Kevin, where do you see the team? I said, 16th. You know, put a bit of humour into what is going to be a tough media conference. Everybody clear on that? So they're all the positives about leadership. Always end up with a positive message, even though you might have distributed what your personal decision is or the way to do it. And it might be not the way that person might have wanted to do it. Might not have been. That's what footy's taught me. It's also taught me if you don't have compressed air, you'll never pump up a footy and you'll never have a bloody game. So how important is compressed air? There you go. You ever go to the cupboard? When I was a kid, we finally got a footy when I was 15. You know, about 8 years later. And it's like television. We used to go down to Chapel Street and watch it in the window. But anyway. But the deal in the end is, you go and get your footy and it's gone down. So, you know, the little things are important, aren't they? Yes or no? Yes, absolutely. The little things are important. Because I had a pump. And I had a footy, but one of my mates had never given me back the attachment. Is that correct? Have you been there? Yes, that's exactly right. And that happens all over the world. So it's important that we get the little things right. Everybody clear on that? It's just important. Otherwise, there's mayhem, isn't there? God, I'll never lend it to him or her again. Told him 100 times. That's it. You get frustrated and annoyed. And then all of a sudden, anger starts getting distributed. So let's be aware of the little things. These are all the things that the game of footy has taught me. Okay? Yes. Let's have a look at winning and losing. Winning and losing. I've lost over 220 games in my life. That's 11 years. 20 games a year. That's 220 times I've driven down the highway. Not exactly happy. Gary S said, I've never coached 220 games, let alone lose 220. Pretty embarrassing. But to stay on top of that, you've got to be positive. Because we've got 38,000 fans that actually buy memberships, and we've probably got about 850,000 in Australia that get let down and feel flat. Because actually, I like watching movies when I get the time. I normally watch them between 10 o'clock and 3 in the morning. And everyone's gone to bed. I can really study a movie. And I remember a movie called Patch Adams. Anybody remember that? Yes. They're all walking around crooks, this bloke and the medical, and all they needed was just a little bit of love and happiness, didn't they? Is that correct? I like Robin Williams. I reckon he does some good stuff. Thought he was good in Mrs. Doubtfire. It's my next photo. Happiness is very, very important in leadership. Everybody thinks leadership is about being a dictator. Not everybody, sorry. Many people think it's about telling people what to do. It's not necessarily. Sometimes it's showing them or showing them a way that will assist them to do what they want to do. What they want to do. So show them four or five ways. But happiness is a very important skill to have. And you can practice happiness. I practice it a lot. I have to. Bloody 20 games, a lot of bloody losses. It's not right for you guys. I'm the coach. I'm getting into trouble at the moment. I drive past the Carlton Cemetery. Hi, Mum. Hi, Dad. Sorry. I'm not coming in yet. Very simple, isn't it? I'm very lucky. You're reminding yourself how lucky you are. So do you ever remind the people that you work with how lucky we are? In this country, write this down, we have one Tats Lotto living in this country. We have one Tats Lotto already. That's how lucky we are. We're so far away. We have such a great opportunity. Let's not miss it, the opportunity. Okay? That's why I enjoy talking about our country. You want to go down to Tasmania, have some peace and quiet? It's beautiful. Want to go and get sunburnt and have a suntan? Just go north. Want to go and have a walkabout? Just drive up in the middle of Australia. It's fantastic. Surrounded by ocean, plenty of water. Go in the middle of Europe, wouldn't know what an ocean was. Hardly ever see it. Go to London, clouds. Traffic. So we have so much. Okay? The only thing we've got to be aware of is water. We've got to get that right in the next 10 years. Otherwise, we will struggle. So that's one great ambition of mine, is so how can we find we can get that water from the north to the south? I think it's a very important leadership issue in this nation. And they should have a huge think tank about it. Really get the whole 20 million Australians right behind it. Because I always love seeing how our country fights and works for each other when people are under stress and people are in grave danger. Amazing. I see that. Anybody here from New South Wales and Queensland? Hands up. I want to have a look quick. Right up. None of that Australian stuff. Yeah, good. It is amazing when the New South Wales people, the Queensland people, the Victoria people, all up and down the East Coast, they want to play each other in State of Origin or cricket. And Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane all reckon they've got the greatest city. Argue, harass each other. I see them walking out of rugby and footy grounds and sporting events. But when there's a forest fire on, isn't it amazing what happens? Where's the fire brigade go? They come from everywhere, don't they? South Australia, Victoria, straight into New South Wales or wherever, or into Victoria, and they help. That's sensational leadership. The only thing that triggers off annoyance is sport, isn't it? I fly into Adelaide quite often and I feel uncomfortable. I kid in the plane goes right over the Adelaide Hills. They get me on radio or I ring them up and say, I'm here. I ring up their radio shows. I said, I'm in town, you're in trouble. I'm going to steal your players. I love saying that, annoys them. Where is he? Find out where he is. Follow him. Get him on edge. And they said, look, you Victorians. I said, oh, hold on. Hold on. The one good thing about flying into South Australia is you don't see any state boundary lines, do you? You are passing into South Australia. You don't see that floating around the air, do you? So I always have this map of Australia without state boundary lines. It's a ripper map. My mates in Darwin. My neighbours in Sydney. That's what I say. I go to Sydney, I see a lot of good people. Go to Queensland, have a great time. Except when Lee Matthews coaches the Brisbane Lions, I don't have a great time up there then. But that's only 6 hours, you know. I've only been up. But always look at the positive, that's what I'm saying. And if a state boundary line's a problem, then get it out. Because we're people with no lines. We don't have any boundaries. The boundaries should be dismissed out of the argument if you want to try and get the right answer. Whether it's in sport, health, economy, what is the right decision? Okay, that is the most important thing. And I think this country over the last 25 to 30 years has made some marvellous decisions. We are such a much better country now than when I grew up. I think we're a better country now than what we were 25 years ago. But the big point of today's meeting is, how can you, write this down, how can you actually make this country better? Write that down, whoever's got a pencil in your paper. How can you make your immediate life better, this city and this state? Because you can. You can. It's called people power. And that's the issue of being a leader. Being a leader is about making a difference, showing a way. And people ask me, I always get asked by the press. Always get asked by the press, because they know I grew up a Catholic. Do you believe in Jesus? I wasn't around then, but I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Every time I read in the books that have been written about that period of time, 2,000 years ago, I always read pretty nice things about that fella. And I'm happy about that. So I go that way. That's all I say. Don't know who the bloke really was. But every time I read a book about Jesus, I think to myself, he must have been a pretty good bloke. I haven't read one bad thing about the bloke. And I got my last 35 years of diaries are all after him. 2006 after the year he died, is that correct? So, gee, he must have left an impression on somebody. But in the end, I never read a bad thing about the bloke. So, yeah, I don't mind him. So I like him. And that's how I feel about people I've been. I don't have any sort of maybe this, buts and that's. I don't have time. Because I'm heading in the next direction. I'm trying to right now develop a team for 2010. Everybody's worried about winning the next match. Jeez, I might as well trip over my bloody self now. Sometimes it's that period of development that you go to, you actually build young people into great men. Okay? Great young women into great women of knowledge, maturity and experience. When does that start? Obviously when they start listening. And they start acting on advice. That's what the AFL's taught me. Footy was the easiest part I ever played in footy in the game. Playing football, running out. They paid me. Jeez. I don't believe they paid me to do something I love. What about that? Yeah, we got some good issues out of footy. I'll tell you what we did. We get the kids to play, which is great. Anzac Day's been a good day for footy, hasn't it? Anzac Day's great. We got four people that didn't necessarily like each other. Not in love with each other. You know, like when you go to... You know when you're sitting in your office and you're going to pick up the phone that you're not sure whether you... And I thought, who can we ring? Who can we play on Anzac Day? And I go to ring up Collingwood. And you go, no, I'm not going to ring up Collingwood. Oh, no. But if you want to get a great match, you've got to ring up a club that wants to try to be great. I mean, there's only two guys that helped Collingwood win the last premiership, and that was Lee Matthews and myself. It's 1990 and I lost. Not one Collingwood fan ever wrote and said thanks. Anyway, that's another story. And you finally ring Collingwood and you say, look, I'd like to have a meeting with Ruxton. Mr. Ruxton is a president of the RSL. And Ruxton is one of those grumpy old men, you know. Sort of, but a lovely guy. Okay, yeah, we'll do it. So we go down and we'll see Mr. Ruxton. Down at the, number two or four, Spring Street, is it? No, Collins Street. Now, listen, we want to play on Anzac Day and we want to play for the RSL. and we want to make some money and help the RSL, and we want to bring the Anzac March up to the level of greatness that this country needs to have it, this state needs to have it, and we want to play actually for the Defence Forces.
Gee, Bruce, this is serious.
Yeah. Yes, we are serious. Then we had to ring the AFL, because the AFL didn't get on well with the RSL that much, because people have egos. They headbutt each other, don't they, ladies? Men have egos, yes or no? Oh, you women don't forget, do you? We are a little different animals, I know that. Yeah, okay, but that's life. So, we've got to get the AFL, the AFL, the RSL, Collingwood and Essendon all in the one little room to agree upon a game that no one really, really believed would ever happen. And they all agreed. And so, therefore, the last 13 years we've had about, not quite 100,000 every match because of the re-establishment of the grandstands, but in the end it's probably been a million-dollar match. Two clubs and the RSL all get divided up. We made $13 million in 39 hours. Good money, good idea. And more importantly, the RSL believe it is the most exciting period in many decades that they have the best marches now, the best attendances they've had for many decades. So that's more importantly, even more exciting than just the match on the day. So here we have leadership, a group of people getting together. We have lots of ideas. I'll put up 100 ideas about every, you know, sort of few years. I put them up, I just keep putting them up. And I go home absolutely in tears, believe it or not. Shattered that I can't get an idea through that I believe will be great. But you don't get too inside and depressed about it. If you get one up in every 30, you got a great idea. Dreamtime the G was about Richmond and Collingwood and our Indigenous people of this nation, because the two clubs have the same colours of the Indigenous flag of Australia. As a matter of fact, last year, when coaching Australia, I named the captains of Australia both Aboriginal players. Andrew McLeod and that little fellow up there in Brisbane, can't keep his arms down by himself, and Chris Johnson. So Andrew McLeod, he was captain of the team over in the west, and Chrissy Johnson was captain over in the east. Yeah, that's where they come from, basically. Andrew come from Darwin. But in the end, we actually celebrated with our Australian flag and our Indigenous flag, and I thought it was fantastic. Because the first time we ever had six Indigenous players in the Australian team. Okay? And mate, fantastic. Were they play? Could they play? So, and we actually changed the rules of selection. You know, change. You know, back of change. We changed the rule about selection. We actually allowed not to pick the best players that play AFL. I want you to write this down because this is one of those little suitcase on wheels deals. You with me? The one you can't see because you're blind. And this is what leadership is. This is what we're not doing. We kept picking the All-Australian team. Have you clear on this? That we're good at playing Australian football. But we were actually playing the Irish at Irish football. That's how dumb the Australians were. So we therefore moved selection around to pick the best team to play Ireland at their game, not worrying about who was good at playing AFL. Have you clear on this? Different reason, different way. Took the AFL a long time to think about this one. A lot quicker than we did the 2022. Took 2 weeks. Now we could be persuasive. Leaders can be persuasive, can't we? You persuasive, ladies and gentlemen? You better be. Better be. Because that's what leaders have got. They're very good at being persuasive. They don't walk away from a challenge. You've got to be persuasive. Okay. Quietly. Shh. Quietly. Or sometimes bloody loud. You've got to be challenging. Don't walk away from the white line when it's there, okay? Very intelligent people, intelligent conversations, making sure you have a very good, powerful base for your debate because you've done the homework. and you go up to the AFL, they've asked me to come along here today, and I'm always challenging my bosses. They taught me 35 years ago, don't take no for an answer. Gee, they're sorry they ever told me that. But they love the challenge of the debate. So we actually picked the Australian team to play Ireland at the Irish game, and we had picked three rookies, not even on AFL list, three rookies. Never played much AFL at all. So we're walking past guys that play 200 games, and we picked guys that play 10. And they said, are you sure about this? I said, no. I'll tell you what, but it might be exciting. We won by the greatest ever margin in the history of 40 years, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest ever margin we won by over 40 years this year. 40 years. Greatest win ever. A bunch of kids. Great ball skills. Move the ball so differently than the players have played the AFL brand of footy. So we changed the rules and won. And look, I'm telling you now, the Irish are really there. They've got a whole new squad. They've got new coaches over in Ireland, and we're going back, and we're going to be in real trouble this year. I played all my cards last year. I'm going to have to really, I'm in real trouble. I need your help. Write to me. So, and of course, Women's Day in footy. Mother's Day, the Bombers played on Mother's Day this year. I'd love to see mothers walk to the, go to the footy, come into the ground, box of chocolates and some flowers. How'd that be, eh? What a great day that'd be at the MCG. But of course, they're all getting taken out for dinner all the time. Unbelievable. It's just, I think we've got 40,000 this year. I'll talk it up. Okay, we've got some educational programs in place because we're actually really taking the opportunity to seek the talent all around Australia. We seek the talent all around Australia and bring them here from all around Australia and take away the opportunity in their home base with their mum and dad. And we have, I mean, I recruited a player from West Australia a couple of years back. And mum was in tears, and she had a right to be, because she knew that her son at 17 wasn't going to be around home with her much longer. And I say to my wife, how would you like Sam or Jessica to leave home at 17 right now? My wife would not like that. So there is a hell of a lot of welfare there. And there's a lot of development's got to be done. So we have these development programs. And it's amazing that some of the footballers out there at the present time, where they've ended up, that might have been very successful, been medium successful, or not been a lot successful, but have become wonderful leaders in the community. So they got into their development early, right into it early. The head of the AFL, Ron Evans, probably played 68 games. He was not a megastar. But here he is now running, basically, as head of the AFL commission. That's an amazing job for a kid in the 1950s that lived out just basically between Essendon and Footscray. Marvellous achievement, you know. So all of these players that come through our system, not worried about the people on telly. They get up there like Sam Newman, and Sam's a bit different, isn't he? Sam's frustrated. He doesn't know when to say yes or no, I mean it. That's the problem. But the deal in the end is Sam Newman and his club Geelong, and I'll just mention this to you, that in the middle of next year, this is how tough this game is, that people always want success. They get frustrated. In the middle of next year, Geelong's going to play 1,000 games since they last won a premiership. That's how tough sport is. So in 1963, right till 2007, about round 10, 11 or 12, depending on whether Geelong make the finals this year, it'll be 1,000 games without a premiership. Is that tough? Exactly. And that Mark Thompson, my former captain, he's got one of the toughest gigs, along with Neil Danaher, because Melbourne won it in 64, so they're 1 year later. They're about 980 matches. I think there's a big chance. I think Adelaide and Perth are going to be bouncing around somewhere. I'm sitting back behind the field like Kiwi. In the Melbourne Cup looking for a way. And I might just come out of the top, but not this year.